Welcome to the Ice Lab Podcast. We are your hosts, Michael Marinaro and Trent Michaud.
We are going to take you deep into our labs, as well as many different high-performance professionals we've connected with on our journey as we strive for excellence. Welcome back to the Ice Lab Podcast, episode number 11. Michael, what's going on, buddy?
Not much. We passed 10 episodes. Here we go. 11. We still have some listeners. So all pumped up. It's going well. How about you, man?
It's going pretty good. Pretty good. It's Thursday, August 19th, 3 days away from the birthday.
Yeah.
And I'm sure everybody's wondering what I'm doing for my birthday. We do have team camp coming up next week, so keeping it pretty low-key. I've got disc golf league on Sunday morning on birthday, and then Mike's coming over, playing another round of disc golf, and then going to hit up a nice little restaurant in Paris, Ontario, Stillwater. Very excited. Pretty nice low-key birthday, but it's going to be dope.
I've got him hooked. I got him hooked on the casual rounds, and now he's in the league. And he's all excited. A couple weeks ago, he texts me, "Yes, my birthday is on Sunday." I'm like, "Oh, yeah, nice. Good job, Trent." No, it's on Sunday. That means I get to play disc golf league on my birthday. But I feel your excitement, man. I'm at the same place.
Yeah, no, it's going to be awesome. It's a lot of fun. Like I said, we're still loving. I think I've played more than Mike in the past like 2.5 weeks, but shout out to True North Disc Golf for getting us all hooked up. And we played around with Jeff yesterday. Went really well. It was a lot of fun. And that's been pretty much it. It's been disc golf. We had our first virtual event happen last weekend, which was really exciting. Got the shorts out there. Felt really good. How'd you feel about it, Mike?
It was pretty good. Definitely need to improve on a couple things. But for a starting point at the middle of August, we're definitely very pleased and on track with where we see our progression heading. Nice. How about you?
Yeah, same thing. There's always lots that can be worked on, but very happy with the beginning of the season, first one out, and for what we did. So going to just keep building on that. Team camp next week, getting all excited for that. And we're have some special plans for you guys to hopefully be listening to after team camp next week. So make sure you subscribe and like and keep following along. And before we get to our guests, we got to talk about one thing, Mike. Do you want to take the honors about it, or are you still
I'll take
a little sore
it.
About it?
Yes, our golf match that I challenged Trent to on episode one didn't quite go in my favor. Trent beat me by 7 strokes. After the first 2 holes, I was down by 6, so I took a very rough start. Taking a 9 on hole 1 didn't help the confidence. Opening up with a par 4, hitting my 4th shot out of bounds is not the way that I saw that one going. But good job, Trent. You got me. You won that one, buddy. Congrats.
Thanks, man. It was a good round of golf. It was a lot of fun, as always. Thank you to C4th Golf Club for having us out there. It was a really good time, and we had some good shots, Mike. We didn't play amazing, but we had some good shots in there.
Yeah, we snuck in a couple good ones, you know, 3-4 bad strokes and make up for it. That one nice, beautiful stroke makes you forget about the last 4 duffs you made.
Yeah, exactly. So tell Bev that I'm waiting for the pasta.
Lasagna is being made.
Let's go. That's what we want to hear. All right, well, let's get to it. They don't want to hear us talking just about golf and disc golf. So this week's guest is a very special guest, just like they all are. We're really excited to have her on, and we'd like to I'm just gonna say your first name because I butcher last names every single time. So Madeline, Skeezus. And what's your last name?
Skeezus. It's Skeezus. Like the hard K sound.
Okay, so welcome to the podcast.
Hello, thanks for having me on.
So for everybody, we also just call her Maddie. So for anybody who's listening, her full name is Madeline, but we call her Maddie. So Maddie is a 2021 World Team member. She was the 2020 Canadian bronze medalist in the ladies event. She won the junior Bavarian Open in 2020?
2020, yeah.
Yeah, 2020. She was fifth at the Volvo Cup. That was senior though, right?
Nope, that one was
junior. That
one
was still junior?
Yeah, that was 2019.
And then she also was the 2021 Skate Canada Challenge champion in senior. So she had a really remarkable start right out of the bat at her first World Championships, coming 13th and qualifying a lady spot at the 2022 Olympic Games. So congratulations on that. We were there for that. That was pretty awesome. How did that feel? Because that was really your first like real big international, and you were straight to senior worlds. How was that?
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty... It was pretty exciting for sure. It was my second senior international ever. I had done one the year before, and then we had the whole year with COVID. So it was really my first big senior championship. It was definitely nerve-wracking knowing that it was the Olympic qualifier, and there was so much uncertainty leading into the event, but it was so much fun just to get to compete again and get to compete against the best in the world.
What was it like heading into the long program as you were the only lady competing in the free? I have been in that position once before, and I know as personal experience, it's definitely tough. And I was in that position on a non-Olympic qualifier, just on a regular world championship qualifying event. So how did you deal with that going into the free program particularly?
Everyone kept telling me that it wasn't really like just not to get wrapped up into in the whole Olympic qualifying, because I had kind of done my job. I think the expectation was that I was going to qualify to the free skate and get the one spot, and anything above that was just extra kind of. So everyone just told me to stay calm and do what I could do, because the spots were really out of my control. So that's kind of how I tried to approach that one.
Yeah, for sure. And that's probably one of the best ways to go at it for a lot of us. You know, we can get wrapped up in spots and everything else, but you can only control what you do. So you completely did that. You crushed the short, and then you had a great long. You had a lot of fight. There was only like a few mistakes, if I remember correctly, and it was really well done. So obviously you were in the right headspace because you didn't let that get to you, those numbers get to you, and, you know, you still skated very well the next day. So,
yeah, I remember watching it live in person, and I just rewatched it about 10 minutes ago for the first time, and it was an absolutely fantastic skate. You definitely stepped up in your first senior event. Senior Worlds is a pretty big stage to lay out a performance like that. You must be pretty proud of yourself.
Yeah, about the short especially. I was somewhat nervous. I was more nervous for the free skate once I got there, but the short, I just wanted to set out really good, like my triple-triple combo, because that was new. So that was my big goal for that. Yeah, I was really happy with the short, a little bit disappointed with the long, just because I made some mistakes that I didn't normally make in practice. Like, I didn't make huge mistakes on the big stuff. I made mistakes on the little item, little like triple loop at the end of the program, which was a little disappointing, but it was just something to grow on. I always say that you can't buy experience, and I got to earn some at Worlds this year.
Yeah, it's a huge experience. There's a lot. Any, like, even though there was no fans or anything like that, that's like Senior Worlds, it has a completely different feel to that. I noticed that, you know, Evan Mine's first one was in 2019 in Saitama, and we'd done two Junior Worlds the year before. So we kind of were like, oh, it's going to be like, you know, a little bit more popular, and it just feels completely different in every aspect compared to the junior ones. So we also did it in Japan, which is probably even more a little bit crazier, but we definitely, like, for us, I know we felt like we just hung on to Mike and Kirsten's experiences, because we practiced with them and, you know, got to be there with them for that, so we got to hold on to that. But you guys kind of, it was Emily's first Worlds too, so you guys were both in that like brand new like Senior Worlds experience, and you guys did very, very well for that.
Yeah, we were both in it together. I mean, I don't think we got the full experience with COVID. There were no fans. And so we definitely, I remember walking into the rink and saying like, oh my gosh, in a regular year, this would be filled. Like, I was sort of relieved that we didn't have the whole audience, because I knew that was going to be tough, because I'd really only done junior events where we hadn't really had much of an audience. So I think it was almost a good thing for me, not having the whole audience and just being able to kind of test the waters a little bit with the World Championships.
Yeah, it's definitely almost a blessing in disguise in a way, because it just felt like a little closer to another event for you, just because it felt like a junior event where it's just the parents and the skaters and in the crowd, and that's all we had there was just the skaters.
Yeah, for sure. I kind of liked it in a way. It was a senior worlds, but it didn't have all of the extras, like all the media and all of the fans and everything. So it was kind of nice.
Yeah. We had, when it was kind of funny because we were used to, like, you know, I've been senior for a couple of years now, and there's normally a pretty big crowd and people react to a lot of things. Like the crowds react to a lot of things. And we land the toes. We're going into the lift. I'm facing Evelyn, looking at her, about to pick her up. She goes, "Do you do the toe?" Because there was no clapping. There was that clapping from the people in the crowd, but the music was so loud and there's not a lot of people there, right? So she's like, "Do you do the toe?" Yeah. Pick her up, do the lift, and then the long, the same thing. We do our toes, we do our sows, come around to go into lift. "Did you do your jumps?" "Yeah, really good." "Oh, okay." Then we just keep going because you can't hear anything.
Yeah, it was pretty cool seeing all the athletes step up the support too at the event, because everybody had gone through such a tough up and down year with no events and with no fans there. Every athlete definitely stepped up that encouragement and definitely helped everybody through their programs, which was pretty cool to see.
Yeah, for sure. It was so nice having the Canadian team, everybody there to support each other. I went to as many events as I could. It was just so nice to have like such a supportive audience, and that it was other skaters who were doing it too.
Yeah, the sport was definitely international. It wasn't just getting support from Team Canada. All the other international countries were supporting and rooting on every athlete, which is a little bit different than normal, and it was nice to see.
Yeah, hopefully that continues as well, because it definitely gives another level to, like, you know, we always talk about skating as a small community. And so, like, even just seeing those people up there just at a quick glance, or, you know, they come up to you afterwards and talk about it because they saw it live. It's a big difference, and you feel like a lot more connected to those people for it. So, yeah, I remember and also especially there, you could see who was there. So it was really nice to see so many different people and all the faces of people, you know, who regularly will talk to you but they're normally just watching from the room or whatever. So that was a super nice experience.
Yeah. It took about 3 minutes to get from the bed in the hotel room to the ice level, cheering on the competitors, which was pretty nice. Normally we're at half an hour, 45 minute bus ride, and you have to plan everything out. But it being so close and you could just jump down the elevator and head right into the rink made it super easy to support and cheer on the fellow competitors.
So, Maddie, let's talk about obviously what got you to the Worlds. Let's talk about what training is like for you at home. So you train in Milton, and can you tell us about that and sort of, you know, how, where you train, the hours you're kind of looking at and the people that you train with?
Yeah, I've been training in Milton since I was really small. My first coaches were Ann and Paul Fisher, and they moved with me and their skaters to Milton when I was probably 8 or 9, which is when I started working with Nancy Lemaire, who is my main coach right now, and Derek Schmidt. Milton, it's just such a great environment, and that's what I always tell people. It's just a lot of fun, and we work hard, but we also don't take everything too seriously, because I feel like that takes the fun out of it. But yeah, I say that it's just such a great environment because we don't take everything too seriously, because I think that takes the fun out of it in a lot of ways, which I think that's what kept me going in the sport and gave me the love of the sport, is that it was just always fun. It was always something I enjoyed doing. It wasn't about always being the best or winning or any of that. It was about just having fun every day and working hard and training towards common goals as a team.
And you're training in a beautiful new facility. I was there for the first time last year for one of the Skate Canada Challenge Hubs, and just a brand new, beautiful, beautiful arena, eh? How long have you been over there for?
We actually go back and forth from that rink, Sherwood, to where most of the time we're actually at a different rink, which is a little bit older, but still very nice. But for the summer, yeah, we're in the nice new rink. I think they built it 2 years ago, so it's really nice. And I love, in the summers when we can be there.
Mike would love to train there in the summer, 'cause there's disc golf baskets out in the parking lot.
Oh yeah. I noticed those are disc golf baskets.
Yes.
Oh, I always wondered what those things were.
Yeah. You throw frisbees into them. It's a lot of fun.
I can tell. I mean, you guys seem really excited about it.
We are.
We're very passionate about disc golf now. So growing up then, so skating, obviously you've been skating pretty competitively since you were 8 or 9 years old, obviously. And then how did you incorporate school into that, especially going into high school? How were you able to manage that? Because that's a big struggle for a lot of parents and people into elite athletes in general, is balancing the school part and making sure they're still getting their education and getting things done. So how did you deal with that?
I know it's something a lot of people struggle with. I think that I had been going to a high performance program in Milton. One of the middle schools there runs a high performance program for grades 6 through 8. So I'd been going there for a few years, and I was on a half day program at school. So you learn to manage your time really well. So I don't think the transition to high school was as hard for me as it maybe is for somebody coming from a background where they're in school all day and there's a lot of structure and everything. Most of the time until COVID hit, I was attending school until about noon, and then I was going to the rink. I was taking 3 classes in person, mostly my maths and science, and then I was taking a 4th credit online.
Nice. And what grade are you headed into now in a couple weeks? Grade 12?
I graduated high school in, I've got class of 2021, and then I'm headed to the University U Waterloo.
Sweet. Nice.
Awesome. And what are you taking there?
I'm actually taking urban planning.
So you're going to University of Waterloo, and how many are you doing, a part-time program, full-time program?
I'm actually taking it mostly online this year. Waterloo was one of the schools that left a lot of their first year programs online. So I'm taking, right now I'm registered for 4 classes. So that's pretty close to a full course load, and I'm just excited to get started. I didn't want to take time off from school, mostly because I like having something else in my life that's not skating. I like to have the balance I've always liked having the balance of being in school, because it really takes you, it gives you a little bit of perspective, on the skating for sure. So I decided I was just going to go right away, and I want to keep close to a full course load and keep on track for a graduation.
Beautiful. What else do you like to fill your time with when you're not busy with skating in school? I don't have too much free time outside of that, I assume, but when you do, what do you find yourself doing?
I play piano, so that's kind of like my big hobby. I've played since I was really little, actually, so that's kind of my big one. And I have a dog. I have a Cocker Spaniel, so I like to spend time with him when I'm free, and spend time with my friends for sure.
That's awesome. That's really impressive, actually. Playing the piano is super cool. You and Zach Laga should try and play together sometime.
I'm not that good. I'm very much I explain it as kind of like I'm a Starskate pianist. You know, I have like my gold test kind of thing, but I'm not that good.
That's still super awesome, though. So do you spend like how often would you say that you're playing the piano? Like still every night, or like a few hours a week, or?
I play it when I feel like it. It's a hobby, right? So I'll pick out songs that I want to learn and go through them. It's a very much a hobby. So I play when I feel like it, maybe a few hours a week.
Can you play any La La Land songs? I just want to learn the piano just so I can play La La Land.
Just it's so you like can one play of my La La favorite Land? Musicals. I actually didn't like that movie at all.
What?
I'm like the one person who didn't like that movie at all.
Why did you not like that movie?
I don't know. It just didn't do it for me. Oh. It was kind of like, I felt like it kind of dragged.
I don't know if we can be friends anymore, Maddie.
I know a lot of people tell me that, but I'm like the one person on the planet who didn't like that movie at all.
What is your favorite musical then?
My favorite musical? Huh. I don't know. Probably I skated to Grease? Miss Saigon a couple of years ago. I like that one.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, I skated to Miss Saigon. I like that one a lot.
What about Grease? Do you like Grease? Or you're too young, you don't even know what Grease is?
Oh, I know what Grease is. I'm not that young, Mike. I've seen Grease and I like it.
Sorry, it's just because Mike's so old.
You're not that old.
Thanks,
Trent. And I'm not that young. People always think that I'm really young. And I'm like, no, I'm actually not. I'm not as young as you think I am.
Just because you're short, Maddie.
Yeah, I know. People always think that I'm way younger than I am. And I'm always like, 18.
I'm not lying. Here's my driver's license.
I'm not lying. Here's my driver's license.
Yeah.
Look. Yeah.
Have you seen any musicals or Broadways in person?
Yeah, I've seen some. I actually saw a lot when I was younger. My grandparents actually lived right outside of New York City. So,
oh, sick.
Yeah, so I saw actually a fair amount of Broadway, especially when I was younger, and then some stuff in Toronto.
That's dope.
I like it. My parents are into it, so they'd bring me.
That's sick. I've only ever been to one Broadway ever. It was awesome.
What was it?
Aladdin. My favorite
Aladdin.
Disney movie. So
nice. Oh, I love that Disney movie. Yeah. I like Disney movies in general, though. So,
was that in Toronto, Trent?
No, that was in New York City.
Oh, sweet. The
yeah,
real deal.
So it was kind of cool because the guy who voiced Jafar, like played Jafar in the movie, sorry, in the on stage, it was the actual guy who voiced Jafar in the movie, too. He's the only person to do both.
Sweet.
Yeah. I was like, oh, wow, they did a really good job with this guy's picking this guy's voice. And then at the end, they say that. And it's like, oh, that makes more sense now. Nice. So you've, let's go back to the skating part. We got a little off track there. it's fine. Let's talk about you. So you've been working with Nancy since you were 8 or 9 years old. So you've been working with her for about 10 years now.
Yeah, about 10 years.
Yeah. How has that dynamic changed over the years? Because obviously it's working very, very well for you. And she started as just like a secondary coach for you when you were younger, or?
Sort of. I think my coach is team coach. So from the time Ann and Paul moved over, they've kind of team coached me. Nancy and I get along really well. She's lots of fun, and our relationship has definitely changed from when I was little, obviously, because when I was small, nobody's relationships with the people in their lives stay the same forever. But she's just so much fun, and she really, I've said this before, but she treats all of us as human beings first instead of as athletes or whatever. She really treats everyone with a lot of respect, which is really amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I met her for the first time at World Super High Energy. I could that being
she's
a
lots
big,
of fun.
big benefit on the day-to-day training basis for sure.
She's lots of fun. She's always cracking jokes. We have a lot of fun at the rink.
You should see her Starbucks order, Mike.
Oh, her Starbucks order.
It's so long and so complicated. We skated in Milton a few times, so there was a couple times where we had to break, and we'd go get coffee or something. And then, like, Allie's is pretty simple. Allie's is, like, a black coffee or a cappuccino, and then Nancy's is, like...
It's like a five-step Starbucks order.
It's, yeah, and, like, the people there, you start saying it, it's like, oh, is this for Nancy? And then they just know it.
Oh, yeah, the people at her Starbucks do know that it's for her. It's quite the Starbucks order.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, Nancy's she's a fireball. She's got a lot of energy on the ice. She's got a voice on her when she needs it too.
Yeah, she's just so much fun, and it brings such a great spirit to the rink. And it makes every day lots of fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's a big thing, you know. We often spend time with our coaches more than our own families for a lot of it. I know for the past 7 years, I've spent more time with Allison than anybody else in my life. So those people have a big effect on us. So it's really nice when they're a very positive role model and have that energy, because not every day is easy. So especially when they can bring that energy and it helps you get through those little bit tougher mentally training days or physically training days, it makes a big difference. So that's really good. It was a really important thing to surround yourself with coaches you really connect with and training mates you connect with, which you said you like have a very good connection with all the people you train with as well, right?
Yeah. We're a small group, but we get along really well, and everybody brings a positive attitude to the rink every day. Everyone I'm training with right now really does a great job of keeping it positive and keeping it hardworking and staying on task. And so that's been really great. It was definitely tough over Christmas when it was just me and then my training mate, Leah Pereira. It was just the two of us. And so it was sometimes hard to stay motivated when it was just the two of us every day. Even we were visiting other clubs and stuff, but it was us training together all the time. So it's been nice to have everyone back and having our little kids back and just kind of more of a sense of normalcy.
Yeah, for sure. It definitely makes a big difference. And so with that, summer's been relatively normal for quite a bit now. You guys actually just competed, right? You just did your first, you guys didn't even do a virtual event. You went right in person. How was that?
It was so great. I think we knew kind of from right after Worlds that I wanted to do an in-person summer event, be it in Canada or the US. So we looked around and found this Cranberry Cup, and it was really, it was a lot of fun, and it was such a great choice to go, I think. It was really great to have that in-person experience, mostly because it's been so long since we've competed a lot in person. And for me, at least, I wanted to kind of stay on that junior schedule where you compete in August and you're ready to compete in August. I didn't want to push it out until the challenger season started. So I was really happy that I was able to attend this event, and I think it went very well. So
awesome. And are you excited for your first national team camp?
I'm very excited, actually. I can't wait to get some good feedback. We've made some changes since Cranberry, just to make sure I'm getting the levels, and I'm excited to get everyone's opinions on the programs.
What Grand Prix are you headed to this season?
I'm headed to Skate Canada first, and then Cup of Russia.
Beautiful. Same as me.
Yes.
It's going to be a party. Nice.
Awesome. Well, we're really excited for you for this season, Maddie. We're really excited to see how you keep growing. Like I said, I've known you for a long time since we were kind of training in Milton for a while there, about 5 years ago. And then
yeah.
I've just known you since then and a little bit from junior when I was still junior. So really excited to see where this goes. We're excited to have you on the full, you get the full senior experience, hopefully this year with everything going as well as planned. And so we're going to change the pace here. First off, do you have a book recommendation? We have the Ice Lab Podcast Book Club. Do you have any books you would recommend to our listeners?
Do I have any books I would recommend to your listeners? I do read a lot, but when I always struggle when somebody asks me these questions because I have a hard time coming up with something on the spot. Huh, what have I read recently? It's hard because I read so much. I enjoyed Michelle Obama's book. That was a while ago, but that's one that I really enjoyed, and I felt that it taught me a lot and was very insightful.
Cool. I didn't even know she had a book, but
it makes sense. I think that it was a very insightful read, and I enjoyed that one a lot. I read it a couple years ago, actually, but it was a good one.
Awesome. Well, Mike, do you want to hit off the rapid fire questions?
Let's do it. Let's finish it off with some fun, light, rapid fire questions. Maddie, starting us off, what is your favorite yogurt flavor?
Probably peach. That's a weird one.
Solid. No, peach is good.
It's good, but I wasn't expecting that. What is your favorite soap?
My favorite soap.
Washing our hands a lot these days.
Vanilla, I guess.
Good.
Okay.
I don't know. You guys, these are some creative questions.
We pride ourselves on the rapid fire.
What is your favorite thing to do outside of the arena?
My favorite thing to do outside the arena. I like playing with my dog. I love him a lot. We spend a lot of time playing out in my backyard.
Awesome. So now I think this, I might know what the answer to this is, just because you're very influenced by it, but Starbucks or Timmy's?
I think Starbucks. Yeah.
And what are you going to order?
Oh, I don't actually have an order. I just kind of, I switch it up like every single time.
Okay. But is it coffee or is it like?
Oh, it's coffee. It's coffee. 100%. Okay.
Good. What is your favorite Disney movie?
Favorite Disney movie? I like Aladdin a lot. Like Trent.
Yes. Let's go.
Yeah. Aladdin's one of my favorites.
It's a very, very good choice. It's my favorite. I honestly probably watch it at least once a month. Disney Plus
like
is
Moana.
A wonderful thing.
Moana's quality.
Moana's
what about
a good
Luca?
One.
Have you seen Luca?
I haven't seen Luca. Is it good?
You definitely need to watch it. I've watched it 3 or 4 times, and it's probably my favorite movie. It's extremely, extremely good.
Okay, I'll check it out then.
You know what my favorite part about Moana is, Mike?
What?
The Rock.
I figured.
What is your pre-competition meal?
My pre-competition meal, it's normally eggs. I'm really big. I eat a lot of eggs. So that's probably what I would pick before I compete.
Hard boiled, soft boiled, over easy.
I like mine scrambled.
Nice. Good. Ketchup or no ketchup?
Ketchup.
Ooh, a little weird.
Yeah, I don't like that. No.
Everybody's got their own taste.
Different strokes for different folks. That's true. Awesome. Okay, well, I just wanted to say thank you again, Maddie, for joining us. And then where can our followers find you on social media so they can see your progress?
I am at Maddie Skeezes on Instagram and on Twitter.
Awesome. Nice and simple.
Yeah.
Cool. So thank you again for doing this with us, Maddie. Good luck. We'll see you next week at camp. And keep training hard for this season. Excited to see where you go.
And peace and love, and be kind to one another.
Get to work in your labs. This episode of the Ice Lab Podcast was produced by Trent Michaud and Michael Marinaro.
Music produced by Hugo Schwinard.
If you haven't already, share with your friends and leave a review.
Follow us on Instagram at Ice Lab Podcast for more information and to stay up to date.